wonderful people, and welcome or welcome back to A Teen's POV, where we discuss the raw reality of modern teenage life through all its ins and outs. It is lovely to see you here. I hope you're having a great day. I know that I haven't posted any episodes in a while. It's been a hot minute, so if you're still here, thank you for being here, and if you're new here, welcome. But yeah, things have been busy with the start of the year, and I've kind of just been getting used to everything. But I'm back, so do not fear, Dia is here. And I'm more excited than ever because, first of all, I got a new microphone today. So if you can tell the change in audio quality, then that's what it is. I got a new microphone and I could not be more grateful. So thanks to my mom who bought it for me, but I was supposed to pay, to be fair, but I didn't have any money with me on the scene. So thank you. And also thank you to everyone, because it's funny, because I was actually thinking about how I hadn't made any content for a while, and I was talking about it, and then the very next day, probably 3 people approached me about my podcast, and then more and more people after that. So thank you for all of those people who have been showing me support and giving me those little nudges, because that's all the motivation that I need, just to know that I could make a difference for at least for one person, and then I've achieved what I want to achieve. And one more thing that we need to address before we get into today's topic is that if this episode releases when it's supposed to release, then the day after it releases is Valentine's Day. So happy early Valentine's Day to everyone listening. And if you have a Valentine, that's great. Keep listening. But even if you don't have a Valentine, you should still listen, because what I have to say about not just Valentines, but the people that we love, not strictly romantic partners, but yes, I will get to that, is that, oh, I kind of lost my train of thought there, but yeah, I've got a lot to say. I've got a lot to say, and I need to start speaking slow because all of my words get all muddled because I'm so excited. Anyway, let's get into this episode. You would have read the title, which is, Can We Spend Too Much Time With Our Valentines? And to be fair, I think it's a valid question. Can we? Well, I will get into answering that. And it's not just one straight answer. Let me just spoil that for you. Spoiler alert. But let's talk about the reality of the love season. And I'm just doing this now because the whole world is going on about Valentine's Day. But this is like valid to everyday situations. So after we had our like summer holidays here in Australia, I know that I've got a wide range of countries, like let me start that again. I've got a wide range of listeners from different countries. So I don't know how it works where some of you guys are, but at least in Australia, we got back to school a couple weeks ago. So we just had our summer holidays. And I had a great time, even though we didn't really travel much because, you know, the C word, which I don't even know if you can get demonetized on podcasts, but I'm just gonna not say the word just in case. Anyway, you know, the virus pandemic thing that's been going around. We kind of just tried to not travel too much. So I've been happily living in my little bubble. And it's been great. It's been great. I've been, like, I was with friends and I was with family. But Something I realized when we got back to school is that you actually need to be around other people and talk to other people like a lot more than when you are on holidays, because I was only kind of like, I wasn't lonely, but I was kind of with myself for a lot of the time, which I thoroughly enjoyed. But there was a time where I didn't like being alone, and being alone was hard for me, and I always needed something to distract me. And obviously that my screen time was very high during those periods. So I don't know if this is true to everyone, but at least for me, my screen time and mental health are not a causation of the other, but correlate very heavily. So if I'm down, my screen time will go up, because I heard this really great analogy that we use our phones as digital dummies or pacifiers for those of you in the in the US. But yeah, so we're all kind of just numbing ourselves when we're lonely. But I have had the experience. I've been in that time, in that low, and I've learned and grown from it. But now, it's Valentine's tomorrow, if you're listening on Sunday, and everyone's going through their, yearly couple craze. But I want you to think about those couples who are never apart and only exist when they are together. And I know that there's a lot of media representation of this, like, say, for example, in shows that and movies where the, I don't know, male or female love interest only exists on screen when the main character is there, or vice versa. But this happens in real life too. And although it gets displayed as cute and romantic and glamorous on the screen, that it's not very cute in real life. And I, like, looking back now with hindsight, I would think to myself, wouldn't you get annoyed of having another person constantly, like, on you, constantly wanting to know where you are, or, like, just little things, or constantly being with you all the time, all the time? Wouldn't you get annoyed at that? Because I, after my codependent stage, and after I kind of, found myself again without certain people, I started to really value my time by myself. And while having someone there with you is fun and it gives you that rush, which I will actually get into the like biological aspects of that, because I'm studying, to all of those who know me, you already know this, but I'm studying psychology this year. So I'm definitely going to put in little snippets of stuff that I learned from that class in this podcast as well. But we learned about the biological aspects of love and all of the chemicals and whatever. So I will bring that into this just to, add some substance and what's the word? Empirical evidence, scientific data, whatever you want to call it, to the correlation between love and addiction. But it comes down to codependency. And while I'm no professional and I can't diagnose anyone or myself, I can definitely say that if I didn't experience it, I definitely experienced something similar to it. And from both sides as well. That's the most interesting thing. I experienced it when it was me leeching off of someone else, but like both of us at each other, so we couldn't be without each other, which was obviously quite a toxic dynamic. And I didn't even realize that it was like that until afterwards, until I was left alone to handle my feelings and whatever. But then another time came when I was all right within myself and I was independent, but another person was leeching off my happiness and whatever. And so first I want to define codependency. This is my personal definition. I did research some before I came to this definition, but feel free to do your own research. The definition that I landed on was not being able to exist without another person, attaching your sense of self, joy, and worth to another person. And this is where I'm going to get to the correlation between love and addiction. So sit back, get your favorite snack, and be prepared to understand why they really say that love is a drug. Okay, so I have an article here that I'm going to reference, and anyone in my psychology class would know about this because we had to write an essay about it on the date that we were given it. But anyway, it's called Love Actually, The Science Behind Lust, Attraction, and Companionship by Catherine Wu from Harvard University. So that's what I'm going to reference if I ever quote. Basically, the article talks about how there's three different categories of love, and they can be broken down into lust, attraction, and attachment. And while I'm probably not going to go into the very depth of every single chemical slash hormone that is released with every single category, unless you want to hear that, which just let me know. I want to talk more about the actual effects of that in applied everyday life. We'll start with lust because it's easy to get over and done with, because I personally don't have much to say on it, but I will go through what the article says and how it can affect us in everyday life. So, the article says that, quote, lust is driven by the desire for sexual gratification, end quote. And basically goes on to say how it's short-lived and just the primal part of ourselves that needs to perpetuate population. And I'm just going to leave it at that. Next, we have attraction. And the article states that, quote, attraction involves the brain pathways that control reward behavior, which partly explains why the first few weeks or months of a relationship can be so exhilarating and even all-consuming. And I'm just going to say the hormone for this one, because I'm pretty sure most people would be familiar with dopamine or the happy hormone, you know. So, yeah, attraction is linked to dopamine, and that is why, okay, I'll get into it at the very end, but that is one of the reasons why liking someone or loving someone can be so addictive to the point where it can be diminishing. But I will get to that, so keep listening. Basically, yes, as said in the article, it can make us, quote, giddy, energetic, and euphoric, but it can also lead to decreased appetite and insomnia because of the overload of hormones and chemicals that are being released when we do like someone or we do love someone. And I think that's where it kind of becomes hard for some people, especially if you've been codependent before. You would be used to just feeding off of these hormones and feeding off of this stimulus of another person without really taking a break and seeing what you like for yourself and seeing what makes you happy for yourself rather than this other person. Another interesting side of attraction that is mentioned in the article is actually the release of adrenaline and the trigger of fight or flight mode. Well, obviously, we don't fight or flight. I worded that wrong. Fight or flight mode doesn't get triggered, but adrenaline is the hormone that triggers it. So you can imagine how hectic it feels if you have those hormones in your system 24/7 or like all the time, if they're being stimulated all the time. And I might have talked about this in a previous episode, but that's how various like mental health problems stem from, is the firing, the overfiring, like hyper, just you just can't have too much. You need to have the perfect balance, and if you cross the line, it either becomes if you cross the line one way, it becomes depression, but if you cross the line the other way, it becomes I don't, what's the word for it? I think it's manic, but don't quote me on that. And obviously, I'm not a health professional, so don't take everything I say with a grain of salt. Then the last category that we have is attachment. And in the article, it states that, quote, attachment is the predominant factor in long-term relationships, end quote. And the hormones that are associated with this category are not only released, or like not strictly limited to romantic partners, they are applicable to all relationships, all relationships. So that's why when these hormones, for example, oxytocin and vasopressin, are released, it's not only in response to a romantic partner. It can be, it well, it is with family and with friends too, but it is just as important because it's what maintains, is what's the word? Longitudinal relationships. But that's not what I want to put the focus on this episode on. So moving on, I want to talk about how similar the effects of love and another person as a stimulus are to the effects of drugs, and how the chemical changes in our brain are actually almost identical. Now, I'm going to start with a quote from the article. It says, quote, "For example, cocaine maintains dopamine signaling for much longer than usual, leading to a temporary high. In a way, attraction is much like an addiction to another human being. Similarly, the same brain regions light up when we become addicted to material goods as when we become emotionally dependent on our partners." End quote. And this is kind of, I kind of knew this actually before I read this article, but it's always good to just, hear it from written in different ways or see it from different perspectives. But there you go. If you didn't know that, I know that when I first heard it, it was a bit of a wake-up call for me, especially because when I first kind of figured it out, it was almost like an epiphany, because I realized how I might not be a substance abuser, but I definitely had some things to work out with myself and my relationship with the people I surrounded myself with. So, yeah, basically, moral of the story is there is such thing as having too much of a good thing. But do not worry, do not fear, it is not the be all and end all, because if you are someone that feels like they need that person, whether it be your Valentine or even a friend, to depend on for your happiness, or just for that, actually the key word there is depend on. It's not that you're happy and then you go hang out with this person that means something to you and then you become even more happier. I'm talking about the case where you're only happy when you're with them and you can't be happy without them. If you're one of those people, do not worry, because I've been there, done that, and there is a way out. But hey, I always say awareness is the first step. So you've already made progress by becoming aware of yourself. So now that we've identified it, you might be thinking, what now? Yeah, okay, I might be dependent on this other person, but what do I do now, dear, huh? Well, let's start off with talking about attachment and detachment. And when I say attachment, I'm referring to the attachment from the three categories of love that I mentioned beforehand, but not the healthy amount of attachment. I'm talking about the excessive attachment and how we can regulate that. And so we need to understand how we can juggle between the time we give to others and the time we give to ourselves. And honestly, there are certain lines and boundaries that everyone can agree that it becomes toxic for, but usually the balance between spending time with others and spending time with yourself is different for everyone. And that's a given, because no two people are the same. So what the amount of time that I might need to spend with myself might be different to what the person next to me needs to have to themselves. And it can change as well. But a term that I keyed in an episode, don't know which one, I came up with this thing called an introvert meter. And if you're new here, or if you didn't listen to that episode, basically an introvert meter is the amount of time that you can spend without needing to talk to other people. And me being quite an extroverted person, my introvert meter is quite small. I can't go too long without talking to another person. Even if I say, all right, guys, I'm taking a day off for myself, I'll still probably end up hanging out with someone. Like, probably my sister as well. But, yeah, it's basically, it's different for everyone. But think, if you're someone who struggles to spend time by themselves and feels empty or lonely when they're by themselves, because hey, you can be alone and not feel lonely. It's possible. And I didn't know it was possible for a very long time until I experienced it myself. But how do we get to know someone and to grow to like them? We spend time with them. And how do we maintain that relationship and strengthen those bonds? We continue to give them our time and attention. So how do we get to know ourselves? Read enough fiction to replicate your favorite character. It's not that, actually, but I wish it was, because I do read a lot of fiction, but that's a story for another day. No, you would have guessed that the answer is to spend time with ourselves. And I know for some people it's easier said than done. But it's always nice to start off with, rather than doing the, like, all right, okay, today I'm just going to spend time with myself, and then just kind of sit there and twiddle your thumbs and feel horrible the entire day. Choose something that you like to do and not scroll on TikTok or social media all day. Like, something other than going on your phone. You can't really, like, I'm sorry, you don't have to listen to me, but I'm just gonna say that you cannot say that going on your phone is a hobby. Pick up a book or, I don't know, go outside. I'm sure there is something that everyone has that they're passionate about, whether it be artistic or sporty or anything, because everyone's different, everyone has things, and I am talking to an audience, so I can't really pick out exactly what you, as a listener, would like to do in your free time by yourself. But I can at least say that me personally, I love to read, obviously, we've already established this. I like writing, I like songwriting, I like listening to music, I like dancing. I used to draw a lot when I was younger, but I haven't really got to draw quite, like, very often recently. Or even just do your homework. Like, I remember there was a time where every time, and I actually have a friend who can agree with this to this day, but every time we were heartbroken or crying or in emotional distress, we would just do our homework, and that would be the most grounding thing, because not only are you distracting yourself from whatever's making you upset and being mindful and aware of the present moment, but also being productive, which in turn automatically boosts your self-esteem. So do your homework. But after a bit of time of spending, like, a bit of practice spending time with yourself, because I know it feels weird to some people, we need to be introspective and ask ourselves whether our focus is going outwards more than inwards. Are you more focused on your friend's problems, your boyfriend or girlfriend's problems, more than you are of your own? And something that I love to say is, where focus goes, energy flows. And I'm pretty sure that's not actually how it was originally said, but I just like saying it like that. But of course, if you're focusing on other people's problems, even though you have their best intentions at heart, it's tiring. It can be tiring, and it can, even if you get your full 8 to 12 hours of sleep and still feel tired, that's probably the reason why. That brings me to my last speaking point. This Valentine's Day, should we be more focused on after ourselves? Should we be more focused on our lovers, our best friends, or both? I don't think I can really speak on this subject as an expert, but then again, that's what makes this podcast unique. Everything I say, I've already said this before, but everything I say is just what I've seen and learned and experienced, sometimes assisted by quotes from experts and research. Anyway, I just want to finish by saying that in the end, Valentine's Day is just another commercialized day tailored as a direct consequence of capitalism. But it's still fun, you know? And props to anyone who understood anything that I just said, because I purposely said a lot of big words in a short amount of time just to confuse everyone. Anyway, obviously, before we finish, we have our reflection questions. And if you're new here, these are just questions that we all sit through together and I will ask them, and for you to have the best possible experience on this podcast, feel free to answer them in your head, or actually, something that just came into my head just then is you could easily use them as journaling prompts if that's something that you do. Definitely recommend journaling, although personally I don't do it enough, but whenever I have something on my mind and I don't really want to talk to anyone, I will journal. So you can use them as journaling prompts or just answer them in your head right now. Do I leave enough time to enjoy my own company? Am I hyper aware of others and unaware of myself? Am I respecting myself in my relationships with others? Is there something I'd like to improve on within myself? And you can, that's all up to you. You can go as deep or as surface level as you want to go with those questions. But they were the last part of this episode. So that brings us to the end. If you've listened this far, thank you for listening. And thank you to all of those who have actually talked to me about my podcast, because it's always great, for me at least, hearing what people have to say and hearing how I've helped people, because that just makes me so happy. That's all I want to do, is just to help you guys and be there for you guys. Just like so many podcasts were there for me when times were rough. Anyway, that's the end of this episode. Don't forget to, what's the word? I don't know if you can follow. I should know this by now. Subscribe. Subscribe? I don't know. I think it says follow on Spotify at least, but the wording would be different on everything. But yeah, save the podcast. Follow me on Instagram at dia.bengra, and stay tuned for the next episode. And thank you for waiting, to everyone who is just waiting for the next episode to come out. It's here, it's out, and you just listened to it. So I hope it lived up to expectations. Happy Valentine's Day. If you don't have a Valentine, then do Galentine's. Like, it's, in the end, like what I said, it's just a commercialized day as a result of capitalism. Anyway, that's the end of this episode. Thank you for listening, and I will see you next time on A Teen's POV. Bye!